Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He's in charge tonight? He's the God of everything. He's the God of everything. Going to preach a little while this morning. I don't know. It's probably time to preach is what time it is. I don't have a watch. And I can tell you, folks, when your number's called, time would have made no difference when time's no more. And probably most folks will say, well, I'd have sure wished that preacher to preach a little harder, a little longer, a little straighter, got a little plainer. Hallelujah. Been preaching, not going to go back and feel ground a lot. We've got tapes, if CDs back here. This is message, whatever number, 12 or 11, 10. I can't hear. Message number 10 on I Have the Victory Over. Now, I'll do my best not to hold you too long this morning. We're going to be preaching tonight, Lord willing. I'm not trying to hog all the preaching. I preached a revival 3 weeks ago, and since then, I don't think I've got anybody to fill in. I preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Got a lot of good preachers here. I'm not meaning to do that, but I've lost a little ground, and I feel like I need to gain it, all right? So I'm going to be preaching tonight. Lord, be our helper. Brother Arliss will be down Falling Water, be praying for him. Tonight at Falling Water, they got their three-night revival prior to the camp meeting. So we'll be praying for them. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6, we're going to, while you're finding that and standing, we want to preach a little while under the same title, I Have the Victory Over. You have to ask yourself what you have victory over. But last week, we brought out on victory over and preached verse 6, 7, I believe in 8, where the priest had went and said the reward followed after. I preached that a little bit different than what this is. The reward, actually, the meaning of that is the rear guard. Well, everybody knows the rear guard. Now, God's ahead of us. The Holy Ghost is in us. And Jesus is everywhere. Somebody said one time, a woman that had, I believe it was one, had a heart problem, lost her mind. She went back to a child. It was Brother Billy's aunt. And she went back to a little child. She carried a baby, a little doll, you know, thought she was a baby. Thought she was just a little girl. And it was because of her heart. Didn't have no blood flow to her brain hardly. And she told Brother Billy, I believe this is right, for him to not worry that the Lord had his back. Is that what she said? She just, now she had the mind of a baby now. She's up in her 40s. Had something extreme happen to her heart. I preached her funeral. And she talked like a baby. She acted like a baby. Her little child, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old. And but she knew enough to know. She said, the Lord has your back. What's that? That's the rear guard. The rear guard. Now, I preached on the reward, the victory, the reward. We're going to get the victory. There's a reward coming, folks. There's a reward coming. We're going to shift gears, change just a little bit. This morning, the Lord be our helper, and I'll do my best. Now, I've never done this that I know of, but this could be the time. I'll preach 20 minutes if you'll help me, and surely it's not over 20 to 12, and I'll do my best to preach 20 minutes, and we'll save the rest of this for tonight, all right? It'd take me several hours to get through with what the Lord's laid on her heart. We're going to be reading in the Joshua chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse, well, I may just read verse number 18, but we'll start and see. Verse number 18, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua speaking to the children of Israel as God began to command him. We stated before that, folks, every one of the commandments of the Lord had to be kept and followed. You can't leave the part out you don't like. Just because there was a multitude turned away in John chapter 6, the Bible plainly says because they said it's a hard saying. You can't turn away and turn a deaf ear just because you think it's hard. It'll not be easy, and I can tell you it'll sure not be easy to the flesh. You've got to crucify the flesh and let the spirit man begin to work inside of you. Verse number 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse, listen to this, and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people, listen to this, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city and utterly destroyed all. I want you to remember this word, utterly. Destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. Going to stop right there because we won't even get this much ground covered. You can be seated. Going to continue, if the Lord be our helper, preach a little while. Still under the title, I have the victory over. Now, it's easy for everybody, I don't care who we are, to get victory over certain areas in our lives. I can tell you, folks, one of the worst battles that you'll ever face and fight will be the battle of self. We brought you through in this message the battle of the unknown. We fight battles that we're not even aware of why. Why is this happening? We even sometimes will question God. In chapter 3, Brother Mike, Joshua stated as the Lord commanded him to the children of Israel. And he said, you've never been this way hitherto before. That's the battle of the unknown. There always must be a battle before there's a victory. I would say today in the majority of the churches, and it's not just the Pentecost, seemed like it started there, but the Baptists and all different branches of denomination. I see churches today, they've gone so charismatic. I'm for the shout, don't get me wrong. I'm much for the shout. But if you'll notice here, Brother Harold, the shout was not to come until every commanded. I mean every I had to be dotted. Every T had to be crossed. Everything that God had commanded. We went through in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. How did the word 7, there's 7 priests. There's 7 ram horns. There's 7 days and then 7 times. The seventh day, that's meaning the completion of God, the perfection of God. It has to be, church, today, just like God ordained it to be. Before the victory, I'm talking about the true shout, the shout of mastery. It's not a shout of feel good, but it's a shout of mastery. It's a shout of victory that's come because the children of Israel at this particular time, they had followed every commandment, Brother Harold, that God had left them. And now the time's come. The reward's fallen behind the hope of that God's going to do what He said. If you were to go back into chapter 2 of the book of Joshua, you'd find that Joshua had sent the spies, and how that Arab, the harlot, had hid them. Rahab, the harlot, had hid them, Brother Harold. And she began to state in this from about verse number 9 down through about verse number 12 or 13. She began to state after she had hid them. Here's the reason. She began to state, and I'll tell you, folks, as I begin to look at this, I thought we are a type of Rahab the harlot, that we was in a sinful world that was unbelieving. But she said, when the people saw, they had heard how that God had parted the Red Sea, how that He destroyed the Egyptians, and in hearing that, I can tell you, she said, in verse number 12, I believe it is, of chapter 2, she said, or verse number 9 and 10, she stated that all the hearts of the man of war there melted. There was no courage left in them, she said, Brother Harold, simply because they had heard. They heard, and they didn't react the way she did. She heard, and she reacted in a way that she knew, the only hope that I have, I can get the victory over the dilemma that's coming. She said, I know that the Lord God of Israel hath given thee this land. Now, if the heart's melding in every one of the others, but there was no one but Rahab and her family that come out of that place alive of the Canaanites. All the others knew that God was a God of vengeance and a God of war and a God of victories. They had the same opportunity to allow God to come in. But rather than that, it's just like today. You talk to about anybody you want to talk to, Brother Harold, and you ask them what they think about this next upcoming election and the destiny for our nation. There was a politician told Brother Eldon Keene the other day, and he said, "The first time in my life, I am afraid for America. I'm afraid of what's happening here in America, that we've been sold out from within." One of the Russian leaders years ago made a statement that America one day would be taken in battle without firing a shot. How does that happen? It happens when we let down our guards. Sis, get over. Somebody get her and set her down. Diane, get her before I step on her. I ain't got eyes in the back of my head. You somebody better guard the rear guard. Now, I know the devil tried to stop this message if he can. So somebody watch these kids. Now, so don't nobody get huffy and think, you say something about the little ones, you make me mad. Hit these alders. You missed it a while ago. I'm trying to preach a little while, and now I've done lost track of how long I preached. 5 minutes. I got 15 left. A lot of them today are hearing Brother Harold, and they're saying, "We're in trouble in this land." But they're like the rest of the Canaanites that were there. They're not doing anything about it. Everybody wants the victory. And I can tell you folks in most of the churches today, you ask most churches, it doesn't matter if it's the liberal, charismatic bunch or who it is. You ask them what kind of condition this world's in. I can tell you what they'll say. "We are in trouble in America." You know why we're in trouble? Blame the White House if you want to. But I'll blame the church house. We're in trouble today in America because we've let down what we know, Brother Harold, the standard God's put on us. We've let down today. And if we let down, listen to this, everybody, if you let down somewhere in one thing, there'll be a day coming you'll let down everywhere in your life in something. And the first thing you know, we're not standing for what we one time stood for. Rahab the harlot said that your God, there's not a God like your God in the heavens above. There's not a God like your God in the earth beneath. What are you saying, preacher? We sang that old song. If I could just sing a little bit of it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Rahab the harlot, she feared and she saw. I believe the courage had left her also. Her heart had melted, but I can tell you where it melted toward. It melted toward the hope. Listen, the Bible plainly declares that Rahab the harlot, as she began to make a covenant. Listen, folks, there has to be a difference today between the world and the church. We have to distinguish the difference. If they cannot tell the difference in the time of battle, folks, that means the church will go down in defeat. Just just like the world. You know what? And I'm jumping the gun just a little bit in this. I may have to take more than 20 minutes, but I can tell you folks, Rahab the harlot's house was on the outside wall of the Jericho walls. I read to you in verse 18 and 19 of that when the trumpet, the priest, the seven priests with the seven ram horns, typifying the perfection, the completeness of God. Everything's been done just like God said to Joshua for it to be done. And now the shout's to come. The victory's going to be there. I can tell you both, the children of Israel, when they begin to shout the victory, we shout before the victory many times. I'm not against the shout, but I can tell you there's a lot of folks shouting when they need to be praying. I stated the other night, I believe it was Wednesday night, faith does not have to be voiced to be heard. Now faith is the substance of things seen, or substance of things heard. No. Yeah, that's true too, but that ain't what I'm looking for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. All right, that is it. Substance of things hoped for. Every one of us want it, but the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith does not have to be voiced, and a lot of times we voice things. And I can tell you, folks, in a lot of our Pentecostal churches, the Bible says, try the spirits whether they be of God. Baptist churches, a lot of them gone just as charismatic as can be. They don't sing about Jesus no more. They sang about everything else. They don't sing the old blood songs. They don't sing songs that one time brought convictions to it. It's all about feel good. Preacher, see if you can bless me in my sins. Preacher, see if you can preach me happy. I've been down all week. Preacher, see what you can do about it. I can introduce you to a place. You can do. I can't do a thing about it, but you can. I've stated over and over in this message, the worst enemy you have is yourself, and you can blame everybody else. Blame the president. Blame the nation. Blame the military. Blame the first church of the deadhead. But it ain't my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I can tell you, folks, I can be like Rahab the harlot. All the walls around about fell, but the reason why her wall stood is because she had faith. And when she said, there's not another God in the heavens above or in the earth beneath, it's like your God. And when she told, she took them out on a scarlet thread. You know what that typifies? We sung the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. She left that there. It's significant to say that she's accepted Christ. I can tell you, folks, if we're ashamed of the blood in this hour, you know what he said? If you're ashamed of me before man, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. She put that scarlet cord out that window. The spies escaped on that and left it there. And the very first thing that happened when the children of Israel, when they shouted, when the trumpets sounded, this is seven marches, the seventh day, the perfection, the completeness of God. And now, remember I stated to you last Wednesday night, I believe it was, or might have been last weekend, 6 days God created everything that is created. Seventh day, meaning the day of rest, it's the day of perfection, completeness. He'd done everything. Seven means completion or perfection. It's all in all. There's nothing can be added to this. And now, the victory sound is the trumpets are to blow. They've marched seven times the seventh day. And now, he said at my word, then shall you shout. I can tell you, folks, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, listen to this, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands. There's a then in there, meaning that everything he stated had to be done before the promise, the victory is on its way, but there has to be a then. Blame God all you want to. But there has to be a then. Then, when they shouted, the walls fell down flat. Now, I remember as a kid, I saw on the old flannel board where the old Bible teachers would put these stories in the Jericho March, and it showed this huge place of Jericho, the Canaanites inside, and the children of Israel marching down. Then they'd put up another on the seventh day after seven marches, and they'd show all that city wall, and they build them walls secure and strong. But there's nothing any stronger than the God that Rahab said. That He's the God. There's no God greater in heaven or in earth. She's acknowledged. She's confessed. She served the wrong God, but now things are going to be different. That scarlet thread typifying in the New Testament in our dispensation. Folks, there has to be something to distinguish. Well, somebody said, preacher, what is it? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Apostle Paul said, I believe it's verse number 19. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is the difference. God knows, and the world knows. The world will see if you're not partaking of the things of the world. Folks, I can't be in this world and not partake of it, except there's been a new nature. There's not just a new name, but there's a new nature. And that gives me the ability to overcome this world. To overcome this world. I've got to look around and see my surroundings and see what's going on around about me. Let me hurry. I'm going to come to a close. Brother Ron, what time is it? 7 minutes after. All right. Three more minutes. I'll have to back up in this. The walls fell flat down. On that flannel board is showed, and I can still visualize. I hadn't thought about this in years, but I can visualize. Here's that red cord, that scarlet cord hanging out that window. Now, how do you know? Well, folks, this is biblical. The Bible says when she led them out of her house down the city wall. This was the walls of Jericho. Her house was on the outskirt. On the top, by the way. She hid them among the flax, the leaves. It was on her roof, on the top. She's the highest point, meaning that hers ought to fell first. But it didn't. Why? Because the God that there's none like in heaven or earth, there's a covenant made, and the spies said that we straightway swear unto her our lives for hers. She said she believes what we're doing's of God, that God showed, and they're all fearing, but now she don't have to fear. Listen, folks, she went and she got everything. She said, swear unto me that my father and his house and everything that I bring, that their lives will be spared. And the covenant was made. The only way, folks, and here's what they said, you see that you utter not our business. In other words, if you go again what you stated, if you don't do what you say, this covenant's no good. I can tell you, dear friend, think what you will. I one time had it, and I'll always have it. But if you go again the covenant of God, you'll lose. I'm here to tell you, I've lost it before and knew, folks, that I was just as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Didn't know where I was going. I know what I'm talking about. But I could see here that Rahab the harlot, after making this covenant, she distinguished the difference. Everybody going to see. Here's this cord, scarlet cord, hanging out the house. I can tell you, folks, there'll be things coming out of this house never come out before. Brother Nathan read to us this morning, Ephesians 4:27. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that you may minister grace to who? The hearers. Somebody's hearing us. Has it always been that way? No, I'm sad to say. Sometimes this old unruly member, the one that he said it's full of deadly poison. Come on, I'm preaching somebody besides myself. He give us bars of ivory to hide it behind, and we still let it get out of jail. It'd just go to flopping and saying things it hadn't had no business saying. And as Brother Nathan said, after you get through, you feel so bad about it. Only thing you can do, you can't take it back, but you can put it under the blood. You can put it under the blood. She's put this out significant. Now, the walls fell flat down, but guess whose didn't? Rahab the harlot's walls did not fall. They stood. Why did they stand? There's a covenant made. There's a covenant made. Listen, folks, if we think our walls, our life is falling apart, we might ought to check the covenant. I can tell you, God ain't let down on His part. God ain't let down on His part. Read it out. I don't have time to go all the way back through it, but read out chapter 2, and you'll see where the spies said, if you utter our business, in other words, if you tell them where we're at, if we get captured, that covenant's over. If you lie, if you turn again what you stated. Listen, folks, Apostle Paul said, if I build again the things I've destroyed, I make myself a transgressor, and the law of Christ is of none effect to me. If I build things that God's destroyed in my life, it's me that's broke that covenant. It isn't God that's broke it. It's me that's broke that covenant. I can't allow things to come in my life that would destroy the covenant, the ability for me to stand. Listen, I got to put this, just a little bit of this part in there before we go on. I'm going to come to a close here in a moment. I've helped you long enough. I didn't even get to where I was going. I'll have to do that tonight. He said in verse number 18, for us to straightway see that we don't take of the accursed thing. In any wise, I mean, it don't make no difference. You can make up any kind of a good story you want to. Everybody, I mean, from the beginning, Eve said, well, it was that, or Adam said, it was that woman you give me. The woman said, well, it was that serpent you put here. And the serpent couldn't do nothing but just fall down on his belly and eat dust. And have his head bruised by the heels of man. And fight man. But everybody's all the way from the beginning of time has tried to have a cop out and blame somebody else. But here's what he said, see to yourself. This is a personal thing. God's made a covenant with us, but he said the only way that I'll be there for the victories that you need in your life, there's a battle coming, you'll need the victory. I'll be there if you don't touch the accursed thing. He said, come ye from among the world, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you unto myself. You'll be my children, and I'll be your God, saith the Lord. I can tell you, friend, it's still just as much real today as it ever was. And you know what he stated? I want to get to this, and I'm coming to a close. And I almost want to say I'm preaching better than most of you are shouting. Some of you don't look real good. I hope when you come back tonight, you look better. Maybe this will penetrate deeper. Here's what he's stating. When he said, if you take of the accursed thing and you bring it in, your house will be accursed. I've been criticized by saying I don't want no rock music played in my house. Anybody touch my guitar and play a rock song on it, in the name of Jesus, get a hold of them hands, break their fingers, Lord, or whatever you need to do. Stop that. I'm not going to have it. And I don't want my radios or CD players play that old jump off the bluff stuff. It'll kill your mind, kill your soul. I don't want no beer drinking, tear jerking songs played on my instruments or in my radios. Now, I know I'm old fashioned, old fogey, call me what you will, but it feeds you. And if you listen to enough of that, here's what he said, you get a hold of that accursed, it'll curse you. Your house will be cursed. And not only that, but he said, when you bring it into the house of God, the house of God's cursed, is what he's saying. When you bring it into the camp of Israel, Israel's cursed. When you bring it in, you'll trouble everybody. Somebody says, what I do doesn't make any difference. It ain't bothering you. I beg your pardon. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. It'll affect your children, and it'll affect your children's children. What we do, no man lives to theirself and no man dies to theirself. Everything you do affects somebody else. a person said some time ago, I was this politician, a good person, I like him as far as a person. And I asked him, I said, I want to ask you, he's running for a position, pretty high up in our state. I said, I want to ask you, how do you stand on abortion and homosexuality? He said, well, Leo, here's what he said, quote word, I'm not for homosexuals. I'm not for homosexuality. But I'm not against, if what they do is their own business, it ain't going to bother me. I stopped him right in his tracks, and I said, what they do bothers you, and it bothers me. They're not going to have any children. You know whose children they're going to prey on? Your children. And I said, it does bother me. It corrupts the morality of our communities. Everybody's let this little old thing called beer or liquor come into Boone County and think it ain't really that bad a deal. I can tell you it's a bad deal. I drove, it's affected. And I followed a vehicle this morning, throwing them old big old 16, 20 ounce Busch Light beer bottles out. And if nothing else, it'll cripple you. It'll cause a flat. All it bothers you in more areas and more ways than you could imagine. But I thought, Brother Ron, I went to come over here to me and the boys. Day before yesterday, I come to Diane had run the van out of gas. And she said, we can stop at Western Grove, but they moved into the new part of the store and didn't have the pumps hooked up. I didn't know it. We got out there, the gas. I said, how long this gas light been on? Well, it come on yesterday. Why didn't you get gas? I didn't think about it. I thought we'd get it at Western Grove. They said, we won't have gas till Saturday. So I drove by faith. They said, closest place to get it is Valley Springs. I knew I couldn't make it to Bellefonte. The only store that there is that don't sell drinking is right there. I don't even know the name of it, but past the old truck stop at Valley. And what is it? Philip 66, they don't sell it. And I commended those folks. I said, thank you that I could stop here and buy gas and feel good. Somebody said, you mean you won't buy anything where they sell booze? I'm not saying I won't, but I won't if I don't have to, all right? And I took a chance on walking. I drove right by that station, and I took a chance on walking. When I got up, I thought, the old devil said, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. I thought, well, if I don't, I got 2 feet, I'll walk. Get a gas jug and get some gas. It ain't that far between Valley and Bellefonte, about 2.5 miles. I can make that shortly. And I went on, guess what? I made it. And I'm saying that for this reason. Some don't think that it's affecting our county, but listen, friend, it's affecting our county big time. Folks' thoughts are changing from what they were. The church is changing from what she was. Our nation's changing dramatically from what it was. We're in one of the greatest battles than we've ever been in, and we're getting less victory than we've ever got. The flesh will never do nothing. The flesh cannot heal. The flesh cannot deliver. But the Spirit of the Almighty, that Rahab said, there ain't another God like your God. There's a lot of gods, but there's none like the God the Israelites serve. A lot of gods of this world that'll let you down. But this God will never let you down. I'm not going to apologize for being excited. I'm hoping it'll catch. Somebody will get a hold of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you come back tonight? If you can at all.